All right, talking today with Steve Thompson. Steve, you have, of course, been recognized probably more with your work with American Farmers and Ranchers, but you're now over at Oklahoma Farm Bureau working as a lobbyist over there for them. And tell us a little bit about the transition that's been going on. Obviously, you've been up at the Capitol during this session. Is there anything you can report that's been going on up there recently? I know we're about a month and a half now into that.
Yeah, Carson, it has been a very exciting time, both for me personally and for us professionally at the Capitol. I've went to work with our friends at Oklahoma Farm Bureau and very excited for that opportunity, and working with one of my real heroes and mentors and former Senator Ron Justice and their whole crew there in the Public Policy Division. So that has been a great transition to work with them. I still have a wonderful relationship with our friends at AFR and the other ag groups, and such a great partnership, you know, in Oklahoma at the Capitol with all of agriculture. We're really able to be a strong presence there, and we're excited about continuing that through this session. But as you mentioned, we're hitting kind of a critical time. We passed another deadline today for bills to finish their House of Origin, to flip over to the other side and run through the committee process again. Really spent a lot of time dealing with tax issues. You know, nobody likes talking about taxes, but it's a critical thing, and we've worked very hard on the ag sales tax exemption, and I think that issue has probably gone away for this session, but we would certainly like to always be open to updating any issues related to the tax code and making sure that it makes sense and works. You know, it's an evolving world in agriculture as well as other forms of business, and so it's always good to take a look at that. But I don't think that there are any changes coming right now with our ag sales tax exemption, but that's a critical thing for producers of all sizes all around the state. So that was really high on the priority list to make sure that was handled properly, and if a good deal couldn't be reached, then put that issue away for another year. And sort of the same thing with ad valorem taxes. You know, we worked very very hard on that for a long, long time to make sure that landowners were treated fairly and equitably when it comes to how they pay property taxes, and working with our friends in different forms of government on that. And I think those issues have gone away for now, but we're going to be continuing that conversation to see how we might help out some folks in public safety and police and fire, and how we can make sure they're adequately financed in the future. And really, the biggest issue we deal with right now is access to health care in rural areas. And so we're going to see if we can't have a great conversation over the next year about that. But we had a number of bills this year that dealt with rural health care, or not specifically rural health care, but we were interested in trying to help our members throughout the state that might not live close to a major medical center, and certified registered nurse anesthetist as well as nurse practitioners, and trying to see if we could get a little help to let them perform in rural areas of the state. And those issues weren't able to be solved, so we're working a little bit with rural doctors and rural hospitals now. But some of those things that are very difficult, that's why we still haven't solved them. But we are having a very robust conversation and with our friends in the legislature, and so many new members of the legislature that it's really an educational process for all of us.
Absolutely. You know, speaking to that tax issue, I know that the farm sales tax exemption has kind of always been hanging out there as that carrot, but it seems like last year there was a lot of talk about maybe tapping into that by the legislature, and with so many new faces up there this year, has it been difficult to kind of convince? Like you said, it's an education process for them, so have you had a lot of pushback from that? But it sounds like from what you've said that they've been pretty compliant with understanding the importance of that sales tax exemption and why ad valorem taxes as well play such a significant role as well.
No, it is gone. We've had a great year on that. We had a good election cycle last year for rural Oklahoma. You know, from the governor on down, we had such great support in rural areas. You know, we had worked very hard in recent years to educate folks that might be from the urban environment as our population shifted and representation at the Capitol shifted, and I think we're really seeing how that has paid off and effort, and we have to keep that up and keep that priority and really be strong advocates for our members in the rural areas. But you know, specifically with some of those tax issues, more than maybe anything else, and we were very well received. You know, there's always folks who who want to address problems out there. And truly, I think with taxes, a lot of times you have more of a perception problem maybe than a reality about that. But I think we had such great friends and champions out there that we were able to sort through that with not a lot of pressure over us. And, you know, the best legislation is done when a lot of voices are in the room and everybody can work together on it. I think we had a lot of that. Sometimes, you know, the right thing to do is just to put it in the drawer for now because you can't get there with a good improvement to the current situation. And, you know, just because something might could be improved a little bit doesn't mean it's broken as it is. And so we really fought hard to make sure that, you know, I think that's the doctor's oath, first do no harm. We certainly didn't want to do any harm when it comes to tax legislation, and I think we were able to have great conversations about the future, but I think there was a real productive solution. So I think that may be expired for this session and this deadline.
Now, talking about some of that rural health care, obviously, you know, I'm sure Oklahoma Farm Bureau's position is that, you know, rural citizens need greater access for that just in general. But can you give us any idea of some of the solutions that have been thrown out there, any kind of points of discussion that's been talked about? I have heard that they have offered tax incentives for doctors that move out to rural areas and things like that. Are those the kind of things that's being thrown out there?
Yeah, that's something that our good friend Speaker Charles McCall has brought up and really fought hard for in a number of years, and we're really excited to try to help him with that as it advances. It's still far from being a finished product, but that's one of the few ideas that I think that we had cultivated this year that's still alive in the process. You know, we worked to get a few more technical professionals in the medical field to be able to provide services around the state, and those issues weren't able to be resolved. But I think for possibly helping out financially, you know, cost a lot to go to medical school, and most folks I know come out with a pretty heavy debt load. So there'd be a way to help them with that as they chose a place to practice. We would love to be able to make it a little more lucrative to move out into the country. And, you know, our rural hospitals are just one of our number one fears that's gotten a lot of attention, and so we have to figure out a way. We have not been able to include that in any financing packages yet to solve some of that, but I think the piece for possibly recruiting and retaining rural doctors is something that we're going to continue to have a conversation about. We don't know that we're there yet, but we're certainly trying to keep that discussion alive.
Moving on some other topics, you know, I know just recently Casey Murdoch, chair of the Senate Ag Committee there at the state capitol, recently came out with a bill that would actually limit the amount of land that the Oklahoma Wildlife Commission is able to purchase. Oklahoma Farm Bureau, I believe, is one of those groups that supports the issue, but it's also gotten a little bit of blowback. Can you talk about that at all and tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely, Carson. That's a good catch. That has really turned into one of the more high-profile issues this session that we have a formal policy at Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and several of our members, particularly in the western parts of the state where is a lot of state government ownership of land, have real concern about farmers and ranchers having to compete with government over acquiring land. You know, one of the biggest things we were about, people in my generation and my son's generation, is access to land. And that's the biggest limiting factor to keeping new generations of producers in business. And so we need all the help we can get, and we really don't need our friends in, whether it be, you know, state or federal government, competing for purchase of property. And we have a great working relationship with our friends at the Wildlife Department, and I think they do a good job most of the time, but we feel like it's more of a fundamental issue that private industry should not be having to compete with the public sector when it comes to acquiring property. And so we had a piece of legislation out there that I think was a reasonable look at capping some of the number of acres that the Wildlife Department could have. It wasn't taking away anything they had or shutting them down. It just would allow them, hopefully, to focus on improving the quality of some of the land that they did own, and not necessarily focusing on expanding the quantity of acreage that they currently have. And I believe that did not get a hearing this week. It had worked its way through the process, but I think it has stalled out for now. And I know that issue is still going to be a viable issue moving forward, but I think that the vehicle that was being discussed for 2019 is going to be dormant, and then we'll see if there's not a way to address that issue next session.
Last time we talked to you guys, we talked to Ron Justice there with you all there at Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and he was telling us that, you know, these are still the early stages, and we're still trying to see how those priorities in the session kind of evolve. And I would imagine even at this juncture, we're still kind of in that area a little bit. As you said, we passed this deadline this week, and that number of bills should have reduced a little bit, I would imagine. So I'm guessing that we're still kind of playing a waiting game here as we look to see what real threats, if any, are out there this year.
Yeah, this is a really critical juncture for reanalyzing the playing field, because, you know, we started in January and February with around 2,800 pieces of legislation, which is really a huge amount. And we joke about how many bills per member that was, and concern that there's probably not that many great ideas floating around there that we really need to tackle. And after the first committee deadline midway through, we narrowed that gap to about 1,000 bills, and so that allowed us to get a little better handle. But, you know, 1,000 is still a pretty big number, and I think we're going to be cutting that down pretty heavily after the dust clears this week, and several things have stalled out. And so we this break now gives us a chance over the weekend to take a deep dive into what's left and find out things that might have been very, very important, but some of the early issues required so much time and negotiation and effort that there were things that probably didn't get looked at or discussed as much as they truly deserve. And so it gives everybody a chance to go back and dig into those and see several things procedurally have passed, but still have a long road to go with the way that they were advanced. And so you kind of put those back up on the top of your list and dive into them. And that's what our whole team, the Public Policy Division at Farm Bureau, will be working on. And we're fortunate to have such a commitment by our board to allow us to have a large team at the Capitol, and we're excited to dive into the second half of the process.
Sounds good, man. I'll leave you with one last question here. You know, right now, Oklahoma Youth Expo is getting underway, and I know that you're one of the livestock superintendents there, and you kicked things off today with the Guilt Show, and as I understand it, Governor Stitt showed up and spoke with participants out there. Were you around during that, and could you share with us maybe what he had to say to folks out there today?
Yeah, Carson. Governor Kevin Stitt and Secretary of Agriculture Blaine Arthur, along with some of their staff members, came and visited us today in the swine barn. We kicked things off with the first day of the commercial guilt show today, and the governor wanted to come check out the excitement. Ours, we're pretty proud of what we do over there at the swine barn, and ours happened to be the first big show to kick off, and so he was eager to come out there, brought his one of his young sons, Remington, with him, and talked about how excited he was to expose him to a little bit of the FFA and 4-H crowd out there. I know he has talked with us before about his desire to get some of his kids involved in that program, and we love to show off our great kids and great animals out there. He made a few comments and watched part of the show and interacted with the kids, and then spent some time working his way through the barns and checking out folks as they moved in the other species. And it was a really exciting time, and we were happy to have him out there with us.